This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 17th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a new book that celebrates the works of a rock critic from Western Illinois. And AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser will check the forecast. But first, a look at today's news. Police officers will continue what's called a modified lockdown at Paxton Buckley Lotus Schools, at least through the end of the week. In a letter on the district website, Superintendent Cliff McClure said a threat discovered in a boys' high school restroom was generalized in nature, making a reference to Friday without a specific date. The police presence will continue at both the high school and junior high, which are connected. Paxton Police Chief Robert Bain says students and faculty were searched with metal detectors yesterday morning. He says officers then addressed high school students.
We talked to them. We asked them for their help of the person or persons responsible for leaving the threat on the bathroom wall. We've had a lot of information given to us. We're very grateful for that, but we do not have a suspect and we have no one in custody for it.
A high school student was arrested Tuesday as a result of the lockdown. Bain says the 17-year-old was charged with disorderly conduct and expelled for threatening a teacher, but is not considered a suspect in connection to the threat. He says otherwise, students and staff have been cooperative. Extracurricular activities were canceled Tuesday but resumed last night with monitoring from police and district staff. The Champaign County Coroner's Office identifies the body discovered in Urbana yesterday as 30-year-old Heather Montine of Urbana. Her body was discovered yesterday morning below a Boneyard Creek bridge by downtown Urbana. Authorities blocked off a section of Ray Street while the body was recovered. Coroner Dwayne Northrup calls the death suspicious in nature. An autopsy will be held later this morning in Bloomington. Anyone with information concerning Montine's death is encouraged to call Crime Stoppers, the coroner's office, or Urbana Police. Savoy's Village Board took a first look last night at a proposal to allow the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District to annex some new multifamily housing developments going up on the southeast side of town. At the same time, other parts of Savoy would be protected from forced annexation for 25 years. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
A rough draft of the agreement calls for three of Savoy's newest multifamily developments to be annexed into the CU Mass Transit District. Savoy Mayor Bob McCleary says the developers of Fieldstone, the Courtyards, and the Village at Colbert Park want annexation so their residents can have local bus service. But existing residential areas of Savoy not already in the MTD would be protected from forced annexation for 25 years. Savoy trustees expressed cautious interest in the proposal last night, with the most caution coming from trustee Joan Dykstra.
There are taxpayers who thought we weren't really going to deal with this for a very long time. They thought Savoy held all the cards and that we weren't in fact going to do any annexation. And now I see that this potential annexation could be within weeks.
Mayor McCleary says the agreement still needs revision, and that public hearings will be held before any final decision is made. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The CU MTD Board is expected to take up the annexation proposal at its meeting on May 30th. University of Illinois trustees today will vote to cut off investments with companies that do business with the government of Sudan. Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Walter Knorr says given the atrocities committed at Darfur in recent years, it's the right thing to do. The resolution cites a United Nations inquiry that crimes against humanity and war crimes were no less serious than genocide. Knorr says the U of I has connections with four such companies. He says the resolution asks that it divests of holdings with them by June 30th.
The proposal does allow for going and contacting those four companies or their agents and seeing exactly what their status is as far as exiting the Sudan to make sure that we're absolutely current with what's going on with them. But and also we will make sure that our investment managers know about the disinvestment policy and make sure that there's no any new investments in the Sudan.
Knorr says this idea has been discussed by the board for some time, and a number of universities nationwide have taken the same action. Trustees are also expected to approve tuition rates for the coming school year and a preliminary budget at their meeting in Chicago today. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley met Wednesday with the state's top leaders, pushing them to come to an agreement that will bring the city more money for mass transit and schools. Amanda Vinicky has more.
Before becoming mayor of Chicago, Daley served 8 years in the General Assembly, so he understands firsthand how the budget process works at the Capitol. Also, as head of Illinois' largest city, Daley's stance on the state budget can hold a lot of sway. Even so, Daley offered little guidance as to what that budget should look like.
Well, I don't want anything. Personally, I don't want anything. What we need is basically funding for education in Illinois.
Daley also says the Chicago Transit Authority needs increased funding from the state.
Realistically, they do need help. It's not going to go away. It won't go away in the fall. It won't go away the following year.
He would not say how Illinois should go about bringing in more revenue. The mayor met with Democratic and Republican leaders. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Presidential candidates might do well to see how they measure up in Illinois. An analysis conducted by the Associated Press shows Illinois is the most average state in the country. The review was based on data from the Census Bureau. Illinois is the fifth largest state with a big city, rolling countryside, and sprawling suburbs. And Peoria is a barometer of America's preferences. Many companies use the central Illinois city as a test market. The AP analysis examined 21 demographic factors, including race, age, income, education, industrial mix, and immigration. Each state was ranked based on how it matched national levels. Illinois' racial composition matches the nation's better than any other state. Education levels, industrial mix, and the percentage of immigrants are similar. Illinois was followed by Oregon, Michigan, Washington, and Delaware. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. A new book celebrates the work of a well-known rock critic from Western Illinois. Rich Egger has more.
Many of the pieces that gained Rick Johnson a measure of fame appeared in Cream magazine. After the magazine was sold, Johnson settled in Macomb, where he ran a newsstand and cigar shop until he died last year at the age of 55. Freelance writer and Western Illinois University journalism teacher Bill Knight edited the collection of Johnson's work, which is called A Rick Johnson Reader, Tin Cans, Squeams, and Thud Pies.
He had like a Lewis Carroll touch of making up words that when you read them in context in a sentence, you know exactly what he's talking about. But in isolation, you think, what planet is this writer from? And he had that, he was hilarious, but he was very methodical. I mean, in some levels, you read his material and you think, man, this is just off the top of his head and he's a genius. Well, he was ingenious, but he had an elaborate system of note-taking. And sometimes he would write down isolated observations or metaphors or whatever and just keep them until he could use them. And so he would think of, whatever it was, a New York Dolls or a Rolling Stones album, and he would plug in some of these metaphors or observations that he made weeks earlier, plug into the review he was writing at that moment. So he wasn't as spontaneous as it comes across, and he was very, very methodical in his writing.
But isn't that what good writers do? If you come up with a thought, you're supposed to write it down because...
You have an observation or you make yourself laugh and you think, well, this might have value later. And, he got a lot of value out of that. On the other hand, I think that what rock criticism generally has become doesn't show that as much as it did. Not that there was ever a golden age of rock journalism. Frank Zappa used to say rock journalism is people who can't write talking to people who can't talk for people who don't read. but there was kind of a moment when Johnson in the 80s and maybe 5 to 10 years before that with Lester Bangs and Richard Meltzer and a handful of guys who were really creative and fun and didn't defer to the music industry so much. Today, I think too many rock critics defer to the industry and it kind of makes it much more dull, not as much fun to read.
What does his writing mean to you as a fellow journalist?
Well, a couple things. Like I said earlier, I think he was very much a craftsman in the way he assembled almost disparate elements of his observation about popular culture in a way that was intrinsically fun to read. and he did some good reporting in his reviews. But also on the downside, I think he was overlooked. He was recognized for several years as, you know, the most popular critic at Cream Magazine. But since then, you know, he hasn't been replaced, and, you know, he's really been unappreciated. So it's too bad this had to have been a posthumous publication, but I'm glad it's at least in book form finally.
Yeah, was he working on putting this together before he died, or is this this project, did this come together after his death?
Came together after his death. He had written a couple of recent things, which we did include in the book. One, a review of Eminem that's hilarious, and one relatively small independent act out of Michigan, Steve Kilpatrick. And so he did get into writing a little more in the last few years of his life. But, you know, I think back at the way his material reads, and you can almost imagine him being like a grown-up hippie version of Dick Van Dyke on the old Dick Van Dyke Show, lounging around with, you know, Buddy and Sally and throwing out ideas that may or may not be good comedy. And I think the book comes across successfully like that, and hopefully people will read this and think, wow, this guy was right here in Western Illinois.
Freelance writer Bill Knight also says rock critic Rick Johnson liked living in Macomb and liked making fun of the town. Johnson grew up in the Chicago area and first came to Macomb in 1969 to attend college. The new collection of his work is titled A Rick Johnson Reader, Tin Cans, Squeams, and Thud Pies. Rich Egger reporting.
Now Ed Kieser has a look at the forecast.
The Champaign-Urbana forecast, today mostly sunny, the high 65, wind from the north at 12 to 24 miles per hour. Tonight clear and cool, low 41 in town and in the upper 30s in surrounding rural areas. Wind from the northeast to north at 3 to 8 miles per hour. Tomorrow sunny, high 71, the wind light and variable. Tomorrow night clear, low 45. Saturday sunny, high 78. Saturday night mostly clear, 53 on Saturday night. And as we look ahead to Sunday, increasing cloudiness with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day. And I'm going with a high of 81 on Sunday. Now, if that cooler air, that center of cold air is a little stronger to the north, it may push in here and get a little farther south Sunday, then we wouldn't be quite as warm. But based on what I see, that's what I'm going to go with right now.
This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, May 17th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.